I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. Overcomer. Hallelujah. The Bible said that since the greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world, He always causes us to triumph, and we are more than conquerors. Well, conquering's good, but then the Lord takes it beyond that. Even though something might have been a weakness in your life, even for years, even for decades, God doesn't get glory in the problem. He does get glory in the deliverance, in the healing, in the miracle of overcoming, and it glorifies Him for somebody that was in a bad way, but to come completely out and be completely delivered and healed and have total victory and then become an example and help to people that are where they used to be. That's more than a conqueror, right? Not only were you helped out of the bad situation, you become an example. Hallelujah. And a help and an inspiration to people who are in a like situation. So let's pray that and believe for that today. I mean, that's already faith if you by faith can see, no matter where I am right now, God's going to bring me to the place where not only am I free, but I can help somebody else in that area. Father, we thank you so much. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. And we say, everybody say it out loud with me. Lord, get glory to yourself. In me. In every area of my life. Get glory to yourself. In the victories. In the deliverance. In the healings. Get glory. To yourself, and may many others be helped also, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is that His will?
Yes.
Certainly it is. Well, we're so glad to know Him today because He has all the answers. He is the answer. We've been on a series now for a number of weeks we're calling Faith for Provision. And since we live by faith and we walk by faith, our faith has to be fed in every area, including the area of finances. And you'll find that this is an area where a lot of folks are lacking. Even people, you know, that have some money and have some stuff, a lot of times their faith is not in God about it. Their faith is in what they have done and what they can do. And the thing is, that can all go away like that in this uncertain, evil world. But our Creator, our Father, our Source is unlimited.
Amen.
He will never run out.
Amen.
Whew! And if that's where you're getting your supply, you will never run out.
Yes.
Is that good news or is that... Say it out loud, God is my source.
God is my source.
There are many channels.
There are many channels.
But only one source. And so it's not just all up to God, however. We have our part. What He gives so freely by grace must be received by faith. He won't force anything on you, no matter how desperately you need it or how good it might be. What has been given by grace must be received, laid hold of by faith. God has ordained that it be that way. Elsewise, He'd be overriding our will. He'd say, no, this is best for you. I got it. You're going to have it. Whether you want it or not, whether you do anything to receive it or not, I'm going to put it on you. I'm going to see that you have it. Well, that's overriding us. That's like we don't have a choice. And He refuses to do that. He will not do that. Even if it costs us terribly, He's not going to force us to receive. But if you're smart, you will be a receiver. Somebody said, that's me. I'm a receiver of every good thing God has given. So He has given provision. And He has told us, many, many different places and ways in the Word that He is the God of plenty, the God of abundance, even the God of running over too much. And so we began giving a number of weeks ago, reason after reason, 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And recently we just increased that to 40 reasons. And I know God could give you 1,000 reasons. But, we focus on different areas at different times. But say it out loud, abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
Is always
God's will
for us all.
Abundant provision
is always God's will
for me.
Now, I know some people find making confessions like we just did strange or new because they didn't do it maybe where they went to church or how they grew up. But it's not new. It's how God operates, and it's how spiritual things have always operated. It matters if you're willing to say something or if you say something from a conviction of heart. It actually releases creative force. It's how God created the universe. And so there's reason why we do it. It's not just a trivial memory exercise. It's much more than that. You believe in your heart. You speak with your mouth. God is the apostle and high priest of your confession, and the Holy Spirit confirms the word coming out of your mouth. Amazing things can happen when His words are in your mouth. Go to Matthew 6 again. Like we said, we're giving these reasons. 40 of them, and we're down to reason number 29 in our study. And in this we're calling take no thought. The Lord commanded us to take no anxious thought about things. What does that have to do with our provision? Everything. He said that in connection specifically with what we eat and wear. Matthew 6, we saw in what we call the Lord's Prayer, verse 11, He said, pray this, give us this day our daily bread. Is it right to say that?
Yes.
Hmm? Shouldn't you pause and see if it's His will first before you ask for that? Now some people say, well, you should always say, if it be thy will. No, you should not. No, you should not. People say, well, Jesus said that in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done. You should pray like Jesus prayed. Jesus didn't pray that every prayer. He also said, Lazarus, come out, come forth. No, if it be thy will. Can you see this? He also commanded evil spirits to leave. There was no asking. There was no if it be. See, if you're questioning the will of God, then you're not standing in strong faith and confidence. Now, there are definitely prayers and areas we should pray, if it be thy will. Because there's a lot of things we don't know about His plan and about, what we're to do and what comes next. And we want to be willing to submit to whatever He says. But see, if that was true that you should pray every prayer with an "if it be thy will," that'd be true concerning the prayer of salvation too. Right? Somebody comes to get saved and they say, "Hey, you know, I realize I'm lost and I won't accept Jesus as my Lord." And you say, "Well, first of all, we got to find out if it's God's will." Now you're laughing, but no, this is either true or it's not. Because people try to say, "Well, no, if it's God's will, it's going to happen. And if it didn't happen, it wasn't God's will." Then that means all the people that don't get saved, it wasn't God's will to save them. Is that what you believe? Because the Scripture also says, "He is not willing that any should perish." So no, that's not true. Thank God, you and I can cooperate with Him, and we don't have to, pull against Him. So when He says, "Pray, give us this day our daily bread," I don't have to pause for a second. Right? Wonder if it's God's will for me to be able to pay my bills this week. Wonder if it's God's will for me and my kids or my people or my friends or my staff or whoever to have plenty of good stuff to eat today and every day this week and every day this year. Do I need to waste any time wondering about that? No. That should be forever settled because He said, "Ask for it." Then He goes on in the rest of the chapter, just a few verses later. He's still talking about it. And if you look, what is in verse 25 or so? He said, "I say to you, take no thought for your life." The word "thought" doesn't mean you can't think about something. It's anxious thought. That's the word for anxiety, anxious thought, what we'd call worry, which is fear, manifestation of fear. He's saying, don't accept a thought, and these are accompanied with feelings and everything else, a thought and feelings that you may not have it. You may not have enough. The enemy is always, this is one of his things he just does all the time, trying to get inside you and me and convince us in our mind and thoughts a fear of running out. And you'll see, entire governments swayed and entire groups and societies swayed. "Oh, we're going to run out. We're going to run out. We're going to run out. We're going to run out." And so if you're going to run out, people get mean.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Then we need to eliminate half the population so we don't run out. Or we got to take it from the people that have it and distribute it to the people we want to have it because we're going to run out. Fear is an evil thing. Connected with it is all kind of lying, all kind of stealing, all kind of killing. Evil. God did not create a world that cannot sustain its population. He didn't create a star or a solar system or a universe. In fact, there's more bananas fall off the trees in the jungle and spoil than the monkeys can ever eat. Huh? There's more fish in the sea. There's more food. There's more resources. It is a big lie that everything's going to run out and we're not going to have enough. On the other hand, the Lord, if we'll listen to Him, is always trying to help us and persuade us and convince us of a confidence of running over.
Yes.
Come on, can you see this?
Yes.
Night and day, death and life, fear of running out. Beware, watch out for it. Faith for running over.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Faith for, just the simple phrase, "We'll have it." Abraham is our father in the faith. We're told to walk in his steps. Perhaps the greatest demonstration of his faith is when he was willing to offer up his son as a sacrifice to God, and he actually believed for the resurrection. He believed he would be raised from the dead. Is that something, or is that so? I mean, he had no Bible, he had no gospel, he just knew God. Hallelujah. And when they're going up the side of the mountain, you know, to offer up, and his son, I guess, you know, teenage boy along in that area or something, he said, well, Father, here, we got the wood, we got the fire, where's the sacrifice? Where's the sacrifice? What did Abraham say? The Lord, he will provide. He will provide himself. He will provide. That is faith.
Yes.
Are we going to make it? Will we run out? Will we come short? No. See, he didn't know how it could happen. Could he explain how somebody could possibly be raised from the dead? He had never seen it. He had never heard of it. But you can believe for things you've never seen. You can believe things you've never understood. And so he said, God will provide. And, you know, that's where the name Jehovah Jireh came from. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. What shall be seen? How he provides. And so when he said it, the ram was on the way. The ram was headed to get his horns caught in the thicket. You know, for some reason he thought he'd just go left. And then he thought he'd just go up. And he just, and God was moving provision into place when they didn't have it in their hands. But Abraham was saying, we'll have it. God will do it. We'll have it. And that is that faith, that confidence, instead of running out, running over. Said out loud, I will always have.
I will always have.
All sufficiency.
All sufficiency.
Abundance.
Abundance.
Of every good thing.
Of every good thing.
My God.
My God.
Shall supply.
Shall supply.
All my needs.
All my needs.
According to his riches.
According to his
in glory.
In glory.
By Christ Jesus.
By Christ Jesus.
So he says here, he says, take no thought. Thoughts will come.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And boy, the enemy is a persistent cuss. I mean, I don't care if God has helped you pay your bills 10,000 times. Right? I see y'all nodding your head already. You know, the next time you need something, the enemy will bring a thought. He'll bring a thought that you need to panic. You need to panic because, oh my word, it's X amount of money and I don't have half of that. And where am I going to get that by next week? And oh no, oh no. That fear, that panic is exactly what he's calling. Don't take that thought. Don't accept it. Don't accept it. How many know there's some deliveries you should not accept?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Huh? It's not yours.
Yes.
You didn't order it.
Right.
You don't want it.
Right.
Mm-mm. And so, you know, my father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin, used to say this. He said, "You can't prevent a bird from flying over your head. You can prevent him from building a nest in your hair." Right? Because, see, that takes time, right? I mean, you shouldn't just let him keep going, right? You said, hey, get out of here. And he said, you can't prevent the enemy from bringing a thought to your mind. You can prevent meditating on it. You can prevent just sitting there and letting it stay on you and, you know, looping it over and over. One of the greatest things you and I could ever learn is that we can control our thoughts. This is one of the greatest things, because people live and die and never believe they can. They believe they are helpless to whatever thought crosses their mind. They just have to entertain it. They have to meditate it. You do not. And the enemy cannot hurt you with a thought you won't think. He cannot confuse you. He cannot deceive you. He cannot mislead you with a thought you refuse to think. And you can. Isn't that what the scripture says? Go with me to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And he's talking about this, how we resist the enemy, how we fight the good fight. In 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3, he said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The enemy is spirit, and thoughts are spirit. Can you touch a thought?
No.
You can't. So what is it? It's an unseen thing. But is it real?
Yes.
Now see, that alone lets you know the unseen realm is real. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right?
Things like thoughts, emotions, peace, joy, love, hate. I mean, all these things. You see the effects of them. You see the results of them. But it's like the wind. You say, I saw the wind. No, you saw the results of the wind. Right? There is an unseen realm. And so you don't fight spirit with flesh. And you don't just fight spirit with mental. You fight spirit with spirit. And so he said, the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, and that's the same word for flesh, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now the enemy, this stronghold that he's talking about specifically has to do with thoughts and beliefs and convictions and persuasions. You can see that in the next verse. A stronghold of thinking and believing. And the enemy is always trying to build that proverbial nest. Can you see that? Nest in your head. A nest of and a stronghold, a grip of believing something and believing something bad and believing something of fear. And he said, the weapons we have in God, they are powerful to disrupting that and getting that off of us.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So that we can cast down. Now, we've seen this word casting, and we referred to it before. You see it in 1 Peter 5, casting all your cares over on Him because He cares for you. The psalmist talks about casting your burden on the Lord. Casting, casting. The word means throw. It's like throwing a ball. Well, the enemy tries to put a ball of junk. Is that right? On you, against you, and we're foolish if we accept it. Huh? And so what did Jesus say when the enemy brings his ball of junk? Huh? His concoction of worms. Huh? And junk. And he says, here, accept this. Here, let's put this in your head so you can just meditate on it. Night and day, what did Jesus say? Don't take that. Don't take that. Don't take any thought like that. Well, how can I not take it? Cast. Go,
yes.
Oh, come on, can you see that? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. How do I know not to accept it? It disagrees with what God said. Huh? You know, wouldn't it have been wonderful if when the enemy came to Eve, huh? And Adam, and said, here, I got a thought. Huh? Eat of the fruit. You won't really die. Well, that is exalting itself above what God said. He said you would. Is that right? These are completely contrary to each other. They both cannot be true. And that's all you and I need to know. If it disagrees with what He said, I ain't accepting it. I will not receive it. No, get it out of here. I won't take that thought. I won't accept that thought. In fact, I will slam it. I will cast it down. And cast means throw. Throw. It's not, you know, lightly put it. Throw. Throw. Throw it. Cast it. Knock it down. And man, you got to do this. The battles are won or lost in these times when these thoughts come and say, there is no way you're going to have enough money to pay that bill, and there's no way you're going to get through this and overcome this. You must not sit there and go, well, I wish there was some cut. That ain't going to cut it. You better say, what? What? God said He supplies all my needs. Slam it down. Uh-uh. No, you've got to be not passive, but resist those things. And you've got to declare over the don't let it declare over what God said. You declare what God said over that. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Every thought?
Yes.
Does it matter what we think?
Yes.
Oh, does every thought matter?
Yes.
It must. Or He wouldn't tell us to do something with every thought. Every thought that shows up, we need to say, hey, ho, where'd you come from? Right? We need to identify that thought. What kind of thought is that? And the more aware we are of what God said, the more forearmed and the more prepared and the quicker we'll notice the enemy trying to slip something in on us to get us to believe and worry and fear. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought. Somebody say every thought. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. I want you to just act on this right now. Put your hand on your head, your hands on each side of your head, and say it out loud. My mind
is my mind.
I don't have to
dwell
on except thoughts that are contrary to God's word.
I resist
every evil thought,
every thought of fear,
and worry,
and doubt.
I cast you down.
I cast you out
and away.
And I declare
God's word,
first place,
final authority.
I have the peace
that passes understanding.
Keeping my heart
and my mind
in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Well,
our time's up again today, but isn't it wonderful to have this peace?
We'll see you next time
here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.